Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Lukey Sprecht, and today we're looking at Get a Life, standard scoring, dynasty, 12-team IDP league, and Rob bought the show. Thank you so much to Rob for getting this all set up. I think it's the seventh show, although I don't even know. I'd have to like go into a different database to see if there were shows bought before, but I'm pretty sure, well, it's at least seven. Let's put it that way. So very appreciative on this end to see a league that's come back so many times for so much abuse from us, right?
Well, I had some compliments smattered in there, I think.
Are we supposed to compliment teams?
All right. I think I do it accidentally once in a while.
So Rob wrote in, and unfortunately we do have some sad news right here at the top. One of the managers who's been in the league for, I'm assuming, well, certainly since I think we've started doing these shows, from the Kern River Rats team, Eric Seifert, unfortunately passed away over the past season there. As Rob said, a father, a brother, a son, a baseball coach, a stand-up comedian. He actually sent a link. I was watching the stand-up on YouTube. Obviously, a great sense of humor. So really sad stuff there. Very unfortunate. And we did want to just give a moment of silence here at the top of the show to mark that passing there. All right. And the reminder here from Rob, just so, Luke, you remember as well, it is a set your lineup league during the regular season. In the playoffs, however, it turns into best ball. So that's kind of a fun little wrinkle. They want to reward teams. Once they get to the playoffs, they want to really reward teams that have a full roster. So we'll try to keep that in mind as we move along here. And as Rob said, they chose that way a long time ago. I should have asked how long the league has actually been around. I'm pretty sure at one point I did get that information, but I do forget. We have eight starters here, one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, one kicker, and three flex plays on the offensive side. On the defensive side, one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back, and two flex plays, two IDP flex. I'm sorry, is it three?
No, two IDP plays.
Math is hard at this point of the season. They know how it's going to work. I think we should just jump right in so we get more time talking about the teams. Let's do it. Number 12, Kern River Rats, unfortunately, here. This team, which there's some good news, they did have the 1.03 selection. They went with Caleb Williams. Now, we're doing both of Rob's leagues tonight, and there's going to be a theme of us talking about where Caleb Williams went in the draft. Luke, I'm not sure how many one quarterback leagues you've looked at in terms of like where things are happening with the draft, but Caleb Williams tends to not go in the top three. He does go at 1.03 here. It makes sense for the roster right now.
Totally.
Before Caleb Williams was here, it was just Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and a bunch of backups. Your thoughts on Caleb at three?
Yeah, I mean, it's pushing early, like you said. I think I do see him go in the first round a fair bit in one quarterback leagues.
I mean, just to put it out there, in one quarterback, I think his ADP is really around four or five. So it's not like he was taken super early, but it's just there's such a clear-cut tier. Usually,
yeah, wide receivers are really kind of clearly there, right? But yeah, I mean, like you said, for roster construction, I think it definitely makes a big impact on somebody, especially with the fact that, like, with a veteran quarterback, I sometimes feel comfortable. But Aaron Rodgers, I think there are so many question marks kind of running around what his career looks like and what he has left in the tank from a production standpoint, that getting someone that you're just so bona fide sure about in Caleb Williams, which I feel that way personally, that I feel like he's one of the better prospects we've seen in a while. I have some concerns about Chicago, but not enough to kind of put that as a red flag. So I feel like that's all right. When we look at the rest of roster construction, Specifically, as we kind of mentioned, into that top three, we look at wide receiver. We've got them ranked 11th in starters, 12th overall, sitting on a couple younger players. We've got Zay Flowers, Rashid Shaheed, and Josh Palmer, all kind of young guys I like. And then we did get A.D. Mitchell at 203, which I think is pretty nice, honestly. I like that from an ADP perspective as well as roster need. So that's kind of a nice addition to the team. So it has a few young pieces at wide receiver. Would it look better if, let's just say, call it Adunze is there? Yes, but at least you kind of can now set and forget about quarterback moving forward, which I don't hate as a strategy in quarterback league, one quarterback leagues.
Yeah, you know, one quarterback's interesting. My home dynasty league, which started in 2002, is a one quarterback league because back then, who the hell
that
knew?
That was the way.
Yeah, who the hell knew any different? And I feel like in one quarterback leagues, the upper echelon of quarterbacks tend to be a little bit undervalued. And then it's really usually the top four or five can actually make a difference, and then it's sort of everyone else. And I think that's sort of where one of the inefficiencies is. So if Caleb does jump up, if he is one of those consistent top five quarterbacks, then this pick is going to look good.
Yeah, it could make an immediate impact. And then I think the team, Isaiah Pacheco, I feel is probably like Isaiah Pacheco and Nick Chubb in the running back position, I feel like are both guys you maybe want to kind of move on from based on where we've kind of set this roster from our redraft rankings. We've got it towards the back end. I think you've got some nice young pieces. I think a lot of teams would be interested in a guy like Pacheco, and you wait for Nick Chubb to come off IR and score points for you and then try to sell him from there. But yeah, there are some also upside or RBs that are like very much on everybody's kind of zero RB drafting strategy. Like Dowdle and McLaughlin, I both feel like are guys that have potential to pop off and be worth something from a trade perspective as well. So definitely some work that could be done.
Yes, absolutely. Just to put a bow on things, they are dead last in total redraft value. Every position on offense is in the bottom three, which is not ideal. It's kind of a prime age team at 26.8 total, 26.4 on offense. They hold their dynasty value. They stay dead last for the dynasty ranking. They do got my boy Pat Freiermuth at tight end. You know I like me some Muth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely someone who I think could outperform that the tight end 13 ranking pretty easily. The quarterback play from his team is going to be interesting. How do you feel about Russell Wilson being named the starter? Is that a boon to him?
I mean, I don't know if for him personally it really matters that much.
Right, that's fair.
I mean, Fields was fine with
Cole Kmet. Yeah,
Fields was fine with Cole Kmet. You know, the Seahawks never really had a good tight end, so it's kind of hard to know. I guess Russ never really had a great history with tight ends. They had Jimmy Graham for a little bit. Right? Jimmy Graham was a Seahawk?
Yeah, he came there for a minute. It was probably a little bit too past his prime at that point, but yeah.
I just wanted to note Demario Douglas is here. I love Demario Douglas. I watched one video of him running up a hill shirtless, and I am all in. How about IDP? What do you think about IDP?
I mean, obviously, I have a couple nice names. I think getting Chop Robinson in the sixth round was excellent drafting. Miles Garrett, obviously, is a huge marquee piece at the defensive end. Za'Darius Smith, I'm going to assume, is going to be a dual designation or grabbing a linebacker position. Our algorithm's throwing him a DE, but I think obviously, yeah, well, from a rebuild perspective, when you're at the back end, I wouldn't stress too much about kind of building that foundation. IDP is something you can kind of sort out once the offense is ready and you've kind of got your window organized. But Myles Garrett, again, kind of falls into the same category as those running backs we talked about. Something that might be worth shopping because he is an impact player for someone trying to get that DL start. Make a big impact there. But by the time this team's ready to turn it around, he might be pushing towards the end of his kind of prime production years.
I was going to ask, is there any IDP player here that you wouldn't move?
I mean, no, honestly not. Even Chop. Like, I like Chop as a rookie, but if someone's willing to give you more than a sixth, then you can just, like, turn instant profit. Yeah, let him go.
2.91 team score here. Helmet stickers. Hey, rookie tied for most rookie starters. Burning out his fuse. Worst rated wide receiver position. My achy breaky heart. Worst rated tight end position. Let's play this one. I think it sucks.
Hi, this is Jim Mora, former coach of the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts. And this is a disgraceful roster. In my opinion, it sucks. Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? This team will be lucky to win a game.
Thank you, Coach Jim Mora, for eviscerating Kern River Rats. Number 11, Balcombe Canyon Badgers. From the Bakersfield division, by the way. I forgot about divisions. We do have two divisions here. I should have mentioned that. Bakersfield and Big Bear. Number 10 roster here. Number 10 in both total and starter redraft value. Tight end is at least good. I mean, Mark Andrews is here. That helps. Number 3 tight end group in the league. And I would say I would call the wide receiver group competitive with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs. Diggs's value in one quarterback, by the way, is, I mean, it's down in half, you know, HPPR and PPR, but it is really down in standard scoring. I guess the idea is he's going to be a short yardage, high volume guy for the Texans still. He is wide receiver 29 in consensus redraft value.
Wow. Yeah, that's surprising, honestly, to me. I guess I get it. I don't understand the differentiation between the scoring, really. Like, I understand that in people's heads, Tank Dell is the guy who kind of takes the top off, so you assume he gets more yardage and potentials for scoring, but I don't know. That's very interesting. Owning Collins and Diggs is also kind of difficult. Maybe you're happy that you own Collins, but I mean, I think everybody who owns Diggs was sad that he went to the Texans once everything kind of had a moment to sit down. But overall, I mean, yeah, I think calling that wide receiver room competitive makes sense. Amon-Ra and Nico Collins, at least both, are young and have opportunity. I think ultimately, though, when you kind of start to look at this team a little bit, you're just kind of seeing one of the repercussions of kind of going for it at some point. If I kind of think I've got my finger on the trigger, is that this is a team that didn't have a lot of good draft capital. As we can see, they had a lot of fours and a couple fives and sixes, but when you get into that kind of position, you start to lose, especially via our algorithm, you lose those big dynasty risers and kind of those kind of the rising tide that can raise your ship. And then we see some of these what do we call them, artifacts of teams that were really kind of pushing earlier. Austin Eckler, Miles Sanders, Stephon Diggs falls into it.
No 25 first.
So yeah, things are maybe not going to be bright for a minute, but at least the wide receivers, like you said, I think that's a nice nucleus that you feel good about building forward. Mark Andrews, like you said tight end is good. We obviously like it when you have one of the top five tight ends. You end up in usually a well-ranked tight end room. We've got them 3 in starters, 3 in depth. Hunter Henry, Kate Otten for depth isn't sexy, but it's serviceable. Do you shop Mark Andrews, or is he kind of in that weird fluctuation place that he's not easy to sell?
Yeah, he might be a player you want to sell in season. Of course, you're risking him. Right. He's been a guy who gets banged up a lot, too, so you are kind of risking that. It's one of those ceiling versus floor. Like, you could sell him now for a nice floor value. Not even floor, but, you know, like a decent value. And even if he gets a little banged up, his floor probably doesn't drop out completely, but his ceiling probably could go a bit higher here. This team is a little bit older. They have an average starter age on offense of 28 flat.
Yeah.
Not a ton of dynasty fall off, but at least enough to drop them to number 11 in the dynasty rankings. Nico, for some reason, Nico loses dynasty value. That's interesting. But Stephon Diggs, also a dynasty faller here. Yeah, missing the draft capital next year as well. No 25 first, so they do end up number 11 in future draft capital. How about IDP?
It's not ideal. We've got them ranked towards the back end, 11th in total rank. Obviously, I think linebacker is a bit of an issue. Defensive end, I feel like they're serviceable with Highsmith and Carl Eftis. I feel like Carl Eftis can really take the next step. Josh Sweat, I think you're going to kind of get what you get out of him from a historical value. The moving on of Hassan Reddick is nice, but obviously bringing in Huff and then expecting some of the rookies to start working in a bit more, I think you're kind of capped out on what Josh Sweat can do. DB, housing two cornerbacks is rough in a defensive back league. You're looking for tackles. That's the more consistent thing you can get. You can find your way into those guys who are going to be your box strong safeties, and then you can at least get more, again, kind of a floor to ceiling conversation. Yes, you maybe can get better output when you get the Deron Blands of the world who can pick six it for you, but the inconsistency for most cornerbacks, you just want safeties and specifically box strong safeties. So he needs work in that perspective too, but at least from IDP, you can kind of always fill the back end with just, you know, those 5, 6, 7 draft picks look to be a pretty easy place to get both veteran and rookie IDP places.
Should have mentioned it earlier, but there was a trade here, by the way. They actually traded that 25 first this offseason. They traded it away for Nico Collins. So they add Nico Collins in the offseason.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I mean, he's young enough that you would expect him to be around. So he could be a player that you kind of build around moving forward. If the pick does end up at 1.02, however, that would suddenly maybe not look quite as
tougher, because it becomes someone like Luther Burden, becomes a little more difficult. But
if they finish sort of middle of the pack, then yeah, I think it would look perfectly fine. 4.26 team score here. Helmet stickers. Apologies up front, but I got to play it. The Paralyzed sticker.
Back out to the show. Bush makes fun of you so, girl.
I mean, I did apologize. Worst rated running back position. All the worst rated position stickers are some of the worst songs ever recorded. So there you go, Paralyzed. Number 10, Tasmania Devils. Tasmania Devils, an old team. They come in at number 9 in total value, number 8 in starter redraft value. Average starter age here, 27.9, and they do lose that dynasty value. They actually fall to number 10. Thanks to Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, both losing double-digit dynasty value here. Well, there's good news and bad news. The good news, we have a quarterback situation that is friendly here with Patrick Mahomes leading the way. And while Justin Fields is not really adding any value at the moment, we know the second he's named a starter anywhere, he is a good fantasy play. And we're just sort of ticking away the minutes, hours, seconds, whatever, until he is starting somewhere. Do you agree with me that at some point this season, Justin Fields is going to be starting games for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. I think it's mostly based on the fact that Mike Tomlin will not accept like a poor losing season. And if Russell Wilson falters, which I just don't think he's got anything left in the tank, really, you just have to put Fields out there. And they're already talking about doing like Taysom Hill packages with Fields. And all of a sudden, if you get those glimpses of him being a dynamic option, he's going to get a shot.
Wide receiver also good here. Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, George Pickens.
I'm surprised to see this team this low, honestly. I'm a little surprised when you hear Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, I think probably can work its way into the top six, not the bottom six. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, yeah, sinking like a bit of a fast rock if you kind of consider how it's going to look from a dynasty perspective. But even the running backs, I don't love it, but I don't feel terrible about it. We've got them ranked 11th, so almost at the very end. But Kamara, Aaron Jones, Jerome Ford, Blake Corum is not a horrible RB room. I feel like running back 19 is a little low for Kamara. I obviously know we're not getting the boost from receptions, but same with Aaron Jones. I guess both kind of fall into that category, but yeah, neither have a ton of competition behind them.
This is a team that actually across the board is not helped by standard scoring, true. Right? I mean, yeah, Adams, Pickens, yeah. Current Davante Adams was just an 1,100-yard season. Like, Adams and Pickens were basically tied in yardage last year. Adams had 3 more touchdowns. Like, he was still good in half point per reception in PPR because he was still over 100 receptions. How about Dallas Goedert? He had 600 yards. He only had 3 touchdowns last year. Just not helped by standard scoring, and as you mentioned, Alvin Kamara and Aaron Jones, both helped by PPR, not helped with standard scoring here. Yeah, it's a little bit, I think it's one of those things where you get used to looking at these guys in half point per reception, you see the names, and you're like, well, this team should be higher ranked, or at least I'm expecting this team to be higher ranked, but in this scoring system, it's
deficiencies.
I mean, that's it just sort of adds up.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I think the one thing I think PPR does is it kind of mitigates that touchdown variance. Because like you said, a guy like Goddard, if all of a sudden we see 7 touchdowns out of him instead of 3, all of a sudden he flies up a board, right? So, yeah, I mean, Bowers is an interesting pick in the first round at 5. I think I can get behind it, but I don't know. Brock Bowers is somehow, I don't know if I've just, it's the Kyle Pitts of it all. And every time I think about a marquee tight end prospect at this point, I get a little scared.
Or you see his profile picture and it looks like a 40-year-old man.
He's just a dad in a shopping mall. You're like, okay. But yeah, I mean,
I say that nice as a 40-year-old man, for the record.
Right.
I'm allowed to say it.
IEP's a little rough as well, I'd say, honestly. Like, it's falling back a little bit. You're kind of anchored by Chris Jones. Hassan Reddick's saga is insane from so many angles. The fact that the Jets traded for him without doing a contract. The fact he's just apparently fine, just tolling a year without having anything happen. It's going to be a tough one. Got a bunch of tweeners, so I think they're going to be able to pretty easily fill out their roster from a starting perspective, but it kind of falls off pretty quick. I mean, Grandison, Lucas Van Ness, you kind of hope takes the next step this year, but yeah, might be a bit of a tough one for this team. I mean, sitting on all its own future draft capital, at least, which is always a nice place to be when you kind of have some concerns. I mean,
IDP is a little old too.
Yes, very, very old for sure. I mean, other than Van Ness, there's nobody in there that's going to really kind of hold down the fort for you. So in a one quarterback league, Patrick Mahomes probably isn't worth selling, right? Like, it's too difficult to do, in my opinion. You kind of just hold him and keep that fort down. So then about Tyreek Hill, I think, becomes the option if things don't go right. But
yeah, I mean, this team could certainly go smaller. Yes. If they want to play more conservative, sell Adams, sell Kamara, sell Jones, and kind of do it that way. Even sell Goddard at this point. And you're not going to get huge mega pieces back, but you kind of start working towards something, or you can make a big splash with the Tyreek Hill idea. 5.29 is the team score here. Let's play this one. End of the contender. For the oldest projected starting lineup in the league, and that's offense and defense, but offense is also on the older side at 27.9, so Kamara, Jones, both 29 and 30 there. Tyreek Hill, 30. Adams, 32. Number 9, North Shore Nemesis. North Shore Nemesis. We had some trades here, including a big trade, which involved Brandon Ayuk being traded away, along with some draft picks. They traded for Khalil Shakir, but they get better draft capital in return.
Yeah, picking up like a first and 2 seconds, and then kind of netting out one down a third and a fourth. So if we kind of just take away the noise, it's Shakir for a 1 and 2 twos for Ayuk.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is not terrible pricing for Ayuk, especially if you were concerned about him ending up somewhere like Pittsburgh up until yesterday, of course. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely an interesting move. It obviously loads this team with no.
Yeah, they don't end up having... Well, there were other moves here. They ended up not having a ton of picks. I guess they sort of slowly use them. I mean, they used one in the... they get a first in the Nico Collins deal, right?
Yes. Which I guess but is the one they're holding on to.
They did trade one for Christian Watson, it looked like.
Yeah.
If I'm reading this right.
Yeah,
trying to navigate CBS's trades. I don't like it. So anyway, at the end of the day, the roster itself, not terrible. Number 4, but not bearable. reading bear like this and big bear that. Number 4 in total and starter redraft value, very much in the playoff picture, borderline contender. I mean, usually I would say the number 4 team is sort of like a dark horsey kind of team. You wouldn't necessarily pick them as an out-and-out contender, but could easily get there if they get a break or two. Right now, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, all top half of the league. I don't think there's much to analyze with Josh Allen. He's good at football. I think that's think that's enough. Yeah, but
definitely
it's very
gonna be an anchor for you there.
It's very interesting to see Debo and Ayuk on the same team. You have thoughts on those two?
I mean, so the trade happens before we know where Ayuk goes, and it was like in the heat of speculation, August 11th. So who knows if maybe the hope was they both went somewhere else and became wide R1s each. The San Francisco people that I kind of talk to and read seem to anticipate Debo moving on, and then kind of that figuring itself out. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little surprised that we have them so highly ranked. I mean, obviously, when we kind of talk about the inverse of Derrick Henry in a non-PPR league is, I think, just running back gold. Maybe it's not for long, but I do think he has an excellent opportunity. Though I feel like he's not getting the detractions that Saquon Barkley's getting when people are worried about like quarterback scoring. Like, everyone's like, oh, Jalen Hurts is going to take all of Saquon Barkley's scoring opportunities. But
I think
Lamar Jackson's not going to take Henry's.
Yeah, I think that's sort of borne out in the histories of the team where Lamar is not much of a goal line threat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely a good runner, but he doesn't get the inside the five runs as much.
Right, but he does stop those inside the five opportunities when he scores from the 15.
Yes, that is true as well. And I also, I am personally very much not thinking Hurts is going to be doing the tush push as much this year, but
I completely agree.
Consensus would disagree with me. Yeah, Derrick Henry, very nice here behind him. It falls off real quick.
It's tough really fast. But you, again, because of the format, you only really need one.
Yes, and there's just one projected. Right? Yeah.
Henry's so that's all you need, and then you fire in those wide receivers. I love Terry McLaurin as like a wide receiver three once you get past the Debo and Ayuk. I would be much rather starting Terry over Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp probably does fall into that four slot for you still because I don't think you're ready to ascend any of these rookies, Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman, although Keon Coleman does have an avenue, I think, to becoming kind of like a mid-season rocket ship as far as value goes if he ends up kind of being able to source out being the guy, because there is not a heck of a whole lot going on with him and Josh Allen as far as competition goes.
Yeah,
outside of, I guess, the starting tight end on this team as well. We do have a lot of Buffalo, especially if you consider that Devin Singletary, probably when he was owned, was also on Buffalo. So,
and Dawson Knox.
And Dawson Knox. Yeah, okay, let's just call this guy a Bills fan.
I was going to mention Ladd at 1.07, Keon Coleman at 1.11. They're not my guys. Ladd obviously has the opportunity there. Maybe he'll just step up and be the number one for the Chargers. And, you know, Coleman, it's kind of – both are very situational wide receivers, right? Very situational wide receivers there. You know, Ladd theoretically could be the number one wide receiver for the Chargers. Coleman theoretically could be the number one wide receiver for the Bills because there isn't a ton of competition at those two spots. The worry I have is sometimes it's a dynasty league. Like, situations can change pretty rapidly. I feel like both of those guys are a little bit more valuable because of their situation.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure, I think. And that definitely bears out in how we see Ladd McConkey get drafted, I think. I think if we were just looking at him as a prospect and not a landing spot, I do think he falls a little bit. But overall, we'll see how things go. He does have an excellent quarterback. I'm still a Justin Herbert believer. Another place where I think this team is really kind of propped up is their IDP is quite strong, especially if Jalen Phillips comes back. I think then all of a sudden you really have a difference makers on impact, because TJ Watt, Brian Burns is huge scoring when you're only looking to have to start five. That's an excellent place to go from. Maybe there's a little bit of a weakness at DB again. I'm telling you, based on the rosters I'm looking at, there are some great safeties in free agency that people need to start looking for. I just, unless the scoring is just absolutely mental for pass deflections, but I still would want a safety. Yeah. So, I mean, I do think the defensive end group being like, it's our number two ranked group in the game. So I do think that's where your world breakers are. TJ Watt, Brian Burns are guys that can make an impact from a scoring perspective. So at least a little bit of a boost from that area as well. I will say that I do also think that Marshawn Lloyd at 211 feels pretty good from a draft pick perspective. I feel like that's something I've seen his ADP much higher than that.
And then, he gets a little bit more valuable with the A.J. Dillon IR news. 5.53 is the team score here. Helmet stickers back to the start. Loses over $50 of dynasty value. Pump the brakes. Lowest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. Let's play this one, though. I want my picks back.
I want my picks back. And I want David Putney. I need a punt returner.
For having the least future draft capital. Yeah. Okay. Number eight, Atlanta Arrogant Bastards. Atlanta Arrogant Bastards, Big Bear Division. Number eight in total value. Number nine in starter redraft value here. They went with Jonathan Brooks at 1.06. Brooks is always an interesting player to see where he goes in a one quarterback league. 1.06. I think it's a pick or two ahead of his ADP, but I don't hate that idea.
No, that's fine. I think for me, I really think this is going to end up being a bit of a redshirt year for him, which I think a lot of the teams taking him in that kind of ADP range are not going to be super excited about, but also won't be like overly detrimental to them because they're kind of in that flux position as things are. I mean, looking at the running back room, it was actually already fairly strong. We've got him four in starters, five overall. Gibbs, DeAndre Swift, That's kind of it. I don't really want to call Zeke Elliott a running back, although the depth charts do say he is the starter on a good offense. So maybe.
Yeah. Swift, you said? I was reading the trades here. You were talking about Swift? Yeah, I like Swift. I took him in Scott Fishbowl, so I'm hoping. I mean, they paid him a decent amount. It seems like he'll definitely be he would definitely be involved, you would think.
Yeah, and I think, again, obviously he's someone who takes a big hit from the scoring format. But, yeah, I saw enough out of him out of Philadelphia last year that I do know he's a talented football player and that things probably will have enough touchdown upside that he becomes interesting. I guess Gibbs kind of falls into the same category. Kind of surprised to see him as RB5, although I guess there just isn't a lot of other movers and shakers up in that area that you're going to move ahead of Gibbs regardless of scoring format.
I was going to say there's an interesting trade here. It's like a QB for QB straight up deal. Totally. They trade away Trevor Lawrence. They get back Jordan Love. Kind of interesting. I mean,
what side would you prefer?
I mean, Jordan Love has more value, so I think you can argue the Love side makes sense on paper. But Trevor Lawrence was a better prospect, and there's still some echoes of that in how people talk about him. So. I don't know. It's not like this team is hurting at quarterback anyway with Dak here and Kirk Cousins here.
Yeah. Ended up moving off Zach Moss to go get Kirk Cousins, which I don't love, but I do think, I guess, the team probably was like, how often am I going to be starting Zach Moss, but how often are you going to be starting Kirk Cousins? So kind of a non sequitur there, I guess. But
prime age team, 26.6 average starter age. They gain some dynasty value. They move up to number 5 in the dynasty rankings here. Jonathan Brooks, a big dynasty gainer. Gibbs adds a little as well. Quarterback, running back, both top 5. Definitely some wide receiver issues outside of Chris Olave. They have Jalen Waddle. Calvin Ridley's a starter here. They have Marquise Brown. It's not terrible. They have guys, right? They're missing that wide receiver 1, theoretically. They don't have any wide receiver ranked in the top 10 here. But they have a couple 2s and a 3 and a 4. So that's what you get.
Yeah, and then you're sitting with a decent kind of similar situation where you don't have a game breaker at tight end, but you do have decent scoring with Njoku and Hockenson. And then the IDP, I think, is a strength of the team for sure. Don't love having a bunch of defensive tackles when you can just start defensive line players. But when it's Quinnen Williams and Javon Hargrave, you could definitely make a case for it. And then Max Crosby is probably one of the best IDP pieces you can own. Will Anderson, obviously an excellent piece on top. We finally got someone willing to own a safety. So thank you, Jesse Bates. Maybe not my favorite, but at least we're okay with it.
Rude. I have Jesse Bates and the league we're in together.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's definitely one of the better safeties. But and then Rasul Douglas, probably worth cutting and finding someone new for.
Team score here, 6.07. Helmet sticker, just the mushroom sticker, gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Number 7, Dayton Jackals, spelled with a Y, mind you. It's not the A. It's a Y. Number 7 in total value, number 6 in starter redraft value. It's a strong wide receiver situation here. I think we should start with wide receiver. Number 3 wide receiver group in the league. Pretty good 1-2 with CD Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase. I've always been a big Christian Kirk guy, so I like seeing Christian Kirk here as well. Although I guess some people might say a little bit of a fall off from CD Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase. Whatever.
I think you can accept it when your top 2 is that good. And at least you've got one contract settled. We hope Ja'Marr Chase kind of figures it out, though.
This must have been a not fun off season for Dayton Jackals.
Definitely not.
Also not fun is looking at the quarterback depth chart. They traded away Kirk Cousins. I guess they felt good about Bryce Young.
Yeah, I mean, that's planting a flag in Bryce Young, which I have not seen a lot of teams do this offseason. I mean,
they doubled down on it because they took Xavier Leggett at 2.10 as well.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. I mean, I can maybe get myself around the Leggett pick at 201. That's not, or 210?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay, excellent.
2.10. Yeah.
Nice.
Good value there.
Yeah, so I can definitely get my head around that. I just, again, when I was talking the last team who did the opposite end of this trade, I was like, well, you're not really going to end up starting Kirk Cousins a lot, so why are you trading for him? And on this team, you're not starting Zach Moss a lot. I mean, Josh Jacobs, Zamir White are both guys that you're going to be plugging in. We've already talked about kind of roster constraints. You only have to start one, though we do have Zamir White targeted as a starter for this team. But with the background of Gus Edwards and Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, I feel like that was kind of enough depth that I've got way more concerns at quarterback now, because I don't think Aiden O'Connell ends up starting a lot unless Gardner Minshew gets hurt. I think that's how that goes. Maybe if Minshew ends up struggling tremendously, they give O'Connell another kind of kick at the can. And then Penix Jr. is definitely not starting for a while. So, yeah, you're bye week and injury risky. And then it's also just you're relying on Bryce Young, who did not show out great last year.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good in the preseason, that last preseason game. As someone who took yeah. Bryce Young in a super flex league very early before CJ Stroud, we're holding on to whatever thread of hope we can get with Bryce Young here. Running back is also a little bit of a struggle here. Josh Jacobs, Zamir White. I love Zamir White, but I don't necessarily want him as my number two, which is what he is here. I like him more as my number three. They traded for Zach Moss. He's kind of the primary backup here at running back. Number one IDP. We should probably touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is how I would want to build a team in this format. Obviously, Micah Parsons is going to give you excellent flexibility and massive scoring. Following it up with Nick Bosa, Aiden Hutchinson, you're very young, very talented. Montez Sweat obviously is going to start in as a starter for you a lot. The DBs, you got an excellent set of cornerbacks. They went out and traded a seventh for L'Jarius Sneed, which is fine. Obviously a cornerback who is scoring fairly well. I think it's obviously excellent.
That trade actually happened just after I sort of ingested all the info. So he's not, is he here?
Yeah,
he
you got it. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah. 25.1 average starter age dynasty, more or less holds. You'd expect some dynasty climb there, but they don't really get that, unfortunately. Just a few guys losing dynasty value. You know, Bryce Young is young. He's just not gaining a ton of dynasty value, sadly. Trey McBride is their big dynasty gainer here. He gains double-digit dynasty value. I don't know. Anything else we should talk about? Young team,
I think, has done a pretty good job in the draft. Picking up guys like Jalen Polk and Malachi Corley in the third feels good. It's just kind of taking some dart throws. I mean, obviously, this is how this team has built up a good wide receiver room in the past.
Team score here, 6.31. Helmet stickers, playing with matches, youngest projected starting lineup, league of my own, worst rated quarterback position. I don't get to play the IDP stickers that often, so I'm going to do it stronger, smarter, better.
I don't make mistakes. I'm not just like the rest of you. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I'm better. I am better.
For having the highest rated IDP. You know, I started to watch that show and my wife was like, not interested. That was from The Boys. So I couldn't keep watching. I had to turn it off. Number six, because you can't, I don't know. I could watch it during the day, I guess. Number six, Pumpkin Center Pirates. Is that right? Pumpkin Center Pirates. From the Bakersfield Division. Number 11 roster. Number 11 in total and sort of redraft value. This team is more about the future. They ended up having 3 first-round draft picks. Now, they were all late first, but they did have 3 of them. They also picked up the 2.01, so they picked 4 times in pretty close succession there. They just missed the 1.11. So they went with Xavier Worthy at 1.09. I love that pick. Brian Thomas Jr. at 1.10. I love that pick. Trey Benson at 1.12. That's fine for me. And then Bo Nix at 2.01. I'm not as, I don't know. Other than the Bo Nix selection there at 2.01, and then by that point you're tired. You've drafted so many times in a row. I guess you just sort of, you just put your card in.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of the rebuild in the box strategy where you've already filled out some excellent wide receivers. You picked up that running back, you pick up the quarterback, and if everything kind of works out all of a sudden, like, and then even following it up at 207 with Benson Ott, like, all of a sudden in a perfect world, you just drafted a whole team in a rookie draft, which I can get that kind of attraction. The other thing when we kind of talk about just the future aspect of this team, this was the team that shipped out Brandon Ayuk, picked up the additional first and a couple additional seconds. So is our number one team in future draft capital as well, owning a Balcon Canyon Badgers first, which we have already talked about that team always a nice place to be. A couple additional seconds, which look to be valuable moving forward. So as a team that really has its eyes set on the future, how do we feel about it in the now? Is it a team that's going to be picking early again, or do you think they maybe have enough boost from these rookies this year?
Yeah, they're going to be picking early again. I mean, look, I like the wide receivers. I like Worthy as a high risk, high reward kind of play. So that could go, I think, either way. And then Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, he's no Christian Kirk, but I guess he might be able to. Yeah, he might be able to get something done there. I don't know. No, I think this team, look, Stroud, the wide receivers, I guess, could work out if the rookies and Addison pick it up a little bit. I like DJ Moore more than consensus. I just keep coming back to the running backs in this standard scoring league, and I don't know. I don't know. David Montgomery, James Conner, Ramondre Stevenson. I guess there's a world where they kind of all have close to their great, you know, their top seasons all at the same time, but that feels like a pretty thin group there.
Definitely. And I mean, David Montgomery being the kind of the starter for this team, I think is the toughest part. But I do feel like guys like Connor and Ramondre Stevenson could both beat their ADP rankings kind of right now. Or we've got Connor RB18 feels like a very beatable number. And the only way Connor doesn't really push that RB18 is if Trey Benson ends up taking a bunch of his opportunities. So at least you kind of have that built-in insurance. Stevenson, I don't see a lot going on behind him that I can really kind of call a true risk or threat. It's just whether that offense can produce enough on the whole to be worth it. Yeah, I think they're interesting. I think they have some very big difference makers, but you're right. I think running back's a bit of an issue.
And this is, I mean, look, whatever happens this year is gravy anyway.
Right.
The big news here is the dynasty gain. They gain a ton of dynasty value, not just the rookies, but also Jordan Addison, Michael Pittman, gaining double-digit dynasty value. C.J. Stroud still gains a bunch of dynasty value. And the number one future draft capital situation. They picked up that first rounder from Balcombe Canyon Badgers. That's a plus-plus pick. We use dynamic draft pick evaluation, so the worse a redraft roster, the more valuable their picks are. And that Balcombe Canyon team we have rated towards the bottom of the league for redraft. So we think this team is going to be picking, or at least we're projecting this team to pick, early twice next year. No more four late first, early seconds, or whatever. Now we're picking two early firsts.
Yeah, could make a big difference for it really quick. The IDP is going to score at some points. I don't think it's a big difference maker. We do have them ranked fifth. Obviously, Danielle Hunter has an opportunity to really kind of get back into a high scoring area. Rashawn Gary, someone I'm pretty happy about, and you'd be good to use as a starter moving forward. Zach Harrison, we're kind of hoping takes a step forward this year, although with the with the scheme change, he might end up becoming a bit of a defensive tackle and kind of changing a little bit of what he's asked to do. Happy with his safety room as well. Kyle Hamilton, a great safety to be starting in your DB role, which I'm happy to talk about. Yes. Yeah, I think this IDP, depending on what you kind of want to do with the team, I do think it's going to kind of win more games than you'd like it to, unfortunately. Maybe that's kind of where it's at, but yeah, definitely moving in the right direction. I think the owner can be happy about that.
Team score here, 6.33. Helmet stickers, Wilhelm Scream, Treylon Burks is rostered. The Fireball sticker gains over $50 of dynasty value. Let's play this one. Future is golden.
The future, my friend, is products. You're a product, I'm a product. The end of the world is a product. And for those of us who can successfully embrace that, I'd say the future is golden. To the future.
To the future.
For having the most future draft capital, a little Fallout. Did you watch Fallout?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that's good. That was the, what's that guy's name? I keep forgetting that actor's name. The voice from that one. I forget.
Blanking so hard.
He was the one who, they turned his voice into the robot's voice. Number five, Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. Number six in total redraft value. Number seven in starter redraft value. This is the number one running back team in the league. I feel like in a standard scoring league, if you got the number one running backs, you at least have a chance.
Yeah, ultimately, for sure. And these are great running backs for the format as well. Breece Hall, I think, is probably my running back one, I think, in the format. I maybe put him ahead of Bijan just because of what the skill set is. Saquon is a two, is awesome. Etienne is three, is a luxury, going to be a starter for you. James Cook, maybe I don't start as much with the scoring format. Kind of need to see how that goes on a week-to-week basis, but that's kind of maybe an easier problem to solve because of how weak the wide receiver room is. It's sitting on Tank Dell, Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen obviously falling off a little bit, just moving into a more target competitive nature, mm-hmm. and then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I just don't really think is ready to be a starter for most fantasy teams. So you're really relying on Tank Dell, very competitive. Deontay Johnson's probably the guy I feel more excited about, weirdly, just because I think as much as we maybe don't love the Panthers offense, I really feel like he has an opportunity to kind of step up there because he's only really fighting against Thielen, who is really starting to show his age, and then Xavier Leggett, who's a rookie and going to take a minute.
Yeah, I agree about Deontay Johnson. You could have kept going with the running backs here. I mean, we didn't even mention Raheem Mostert.
Tajay Spears, who a lot of teams are starting Tajay Spears. A lot of teams.
That's true. But Raheem Mostert in standard scoring, I mean, he was a world beater last year. Yeah. 21 touchdowns last year. I think his ranking right now is a little bit soft. Consensus has him running back 22. In standard scoring, I think I would have him closer to 15. This team could easily, I mean, this team will start four running backs every week, assuming they have four of those top five or even six that aren't on bye or injured. I mean, this is as good a running back team as you're going to see in this league, of course, but boy, oh boy, I mean, not many 12-team leagues are you going to see running backs this good. That is definitely a area of strength for this squad. 25 years old per starter. They do gain some dynasty value here. They move up to number 4 for the dynasty ranking. This is a team, unfortunately, that did not have their 24 first rounder. I
think they had a great draft.
Oh, okay. Okay. You want to talk about the draft real quick?
Yeah. I just think that for a team that didn't have a first, I think they did very well. Like, obviously, Purcell kind of getting a red shirt year at this point now, I think, with the injuries and the return of Ayuk, but that's fine. I love Roman Wilson. Like, I think 303, that was stealing for Roman Wilson. I have a fundamental belief that we are not as good as professional NFL organizations, and just look at what NFL organizations are good at. And if there's a thing Pittsburgh is good at, it is drafting wide receivers. So if they do it, I will follow.
I'm pretty sure that I'm better at being a GM than like all of the GMs out there. Most of the GMs,
maybe better than the Browns GM.
And I'm also definitely better than David Gettleman. I just want to put that out there. I would definitely be better than David Gettleman.
You would have re-signed Saquon Barkley?
Absolutely. No. I would never have taken Saquon. Oh, I love Saquon.
That's how you solve that problem.
By the way, you mentioned you might have Breece Hall as your number one. I have Saquon Barkley as my number one. Barkley.
I try to take my Eagles hat off every once in a while, though. When other people tell me that, I go, yeah, I agree. Deep down, I agree.
But that's, again, that goes hand in hand with my opinion that I don't think the Eagles are going to be going to the tush push on the 1 yard line as the first option. I think it's going to be Saquon.
Like I said, as a big Eagles fan, I think Jason Kelce had a lot more to do with the tush push than people are giving it credit for, and it might become apparent pretty quickly. I mean, this team really doesn't have a huge weakness. I mean, their quarterbacks, you could maybe say, are underwhelming, but I think you at least have options and can kind of play the DFS game between Purdy, yeah, Herbert, and Watson. I think that's enough.
I agree. I was going to say that. Like, I think this team is better than what's being projected here. I think the relative weakness at wide receiver is hurting them. I would sort of say what I said about I guess not with this team. This is one of those like high ceiling, low floor kind of teams to me. As long as those running backs, and it's like the worst position to need to stay healthy, but if those running backs stay healthy, I think this team can beat anyone.
Yeah, I don't think I can argue that. And then, yeah, like you can, you play one wide receiver, you fire out all those running backs, and you're going to be pretty competitive. IDP might hold it back a little bit. Defensive line, I think they have enough with Buckner. And I mean, that's where it starts to get kind of a little bit dicey because you're probably going to want to get Harold Landry in there to another slot. Chase Young, I don't have enough hope for anymore. He's a bit of what we're going to call a draft bust at this point. DeMarcus Lawrence showing his age. Trent McDuffie isn't enough at DB either. Might be something you want to just kind of do a little bit of waiver churn and kind of clean up that IDP because you're just so competitive with those running backs. You got to take your shots.
I wonder if there is something about the scoring. We could check the scoring, but it looks like everyone...
There has to be something about the cornerbacks.
Yeah, it looks like everyone has cornerbacks and no one has safeties, right? So something's going on. I can check it real quick, but...
Are pass deflections huge?
We'll look it up when we have a second here. 6.78 is the team score. Helmet stickers, RML. But this is actually our highest rated team. The RML staff has this team rated number one for redraft. We think this one's going all the way. But let's play this one daylight.
And as a rookie in 1965, Sayers offered a challenge to defenses and a promise to his team.
Give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need.
I think it might just be that there's no points for tackles. I'm not seeing tackles as a stat.
Oh, that would do it.
Yeah, there
you
go.
That would maybe make cornerbacks interesting. All right.
So there you go. Number four, Boston Ivory Tower. Boston Ivory Tower, number two in total redraft value, number one in starter redraft value. Kind of an older team, 27.6. So I would call that late prime age on offense there. Loses big dynasty value thanks to, well, Mike Evans, Travis Kelce, Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, those are some old dudes there. They all lose double-digit dynasty value. This team falls to number six in the dynasty ranking, which is the main reason why they do fall to number four in the power rankings. Otherwise, this would be, I mean, if you take out the dynasty side of this is, for redraft, one of the teams to beat. Number three quarterback, Jalen Hurts, is here. They have the number three running back group. Christian McCaffrey's here. Kenneth Walker's the number two. He's a player that's helped by standard scoring a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the number one tight end position with Travis Kelce. He's pretty good. Cole Kmet is here as well. And the only sort of problem, quote unquote, is the average wide receivers. It's not bad. It's just kind of falls a little bit by the wayside compared to the other positions here. But Mike Evans, Marvin Harrison Jr., whom they picked up at 1.01, mind you. It does fall off, though. Devontae Smith, Jalen Hyatt. I mean, they have...
Seems fine.
Yeah, I mean, they have three good wide receivers, startable wide receivers, and then it falls off to Jalen Hyatt, who's wide receiver 80. So right. You can say the wide receivers are thin, but they're not without some talented pieces there.
No, and I think Mike Evans is kind of a perfect guy for the scoring format, right? Like, you're getting yards and touchdowns. That's what he does. He does 1,000 yards. He does 10 touchdowns. That's what he guarantees. And it won't happen one day. It might be this day, but I can't bet against Mike Evans. Like, I will throw him on every team where I think I have a chance. And when the wheels fall off, the wheels fall off. Like, I don't sell Mike Evans. I'm just going to keep going until it's over. And I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is just like the perfect pick for this team, right? It completely rejuvenates it from a dynasty perspective. You're right. There's just a bunch of falling stars, but at least you've picked up this ascending rocket ship that most people are pretty excited about. Provided the fact that, like, Call of Duty doesn't come out at the wrong time and Kyler Murray just absolutely loses it.
How dare
Marvin
you?
Harrison's going to be.
How dare you bring Call of Duty into this? Yeah, I mean, this is a really good team. Any team that has Christian McCaffrey is going to be in pretty good shape. You know, McCaffrey's obviously not helped. You know, standard scoring doesn't help Christian McCaffrey.
No.
And he's been dealing with the injuries. So there are some, like, I wouldn't say red flags. They're like yellow flags, I guess, with Christian McCaffrey right now. But no reason to think he shouldn't be running back one, even in standard scoring here. I don't know. What else do we want to talk about? It's just a really good team. How about IDP?
Yeah, it's well-rounded. IDP's good. I mean, Jalen Carter, you're really hoping kind of takes a step forward this year and can become a force on that Philly defense. Kayvon Thibodeau, Joey Bosa, Matt Judon is enough. Khalil Mack, you're kind of seeing if you can get what you got out of him last year. The boom busts out of it were a lot, but the booms were amazing. Yeah, I think overall it's a fine IDP group. We've got them ranked sixth. That feels appropriate. Yeah, a little bit of youth, a little bit of veterans who are kind of starting to fall off. Drawn Payne as well at defensive tackle needs to be mentioned, someone who can maybe get some scoring for you. But yeah, it's just a good team. Like, not a lot wrong. I'm happy to see they have their future draft capital because kind of do need to start fixing things. Tight ends.
That's a good question, though. If this team, let's say they're getting towards the, I don't know if they have a trade deadline, but let's say they're getting close to the trade deadline or the playoffs or whatever, they feel like they have a shot. Would you trade future draft capital to add a vet who can help you win
Yeah, for now. Sure, 100%. With this team, you'd think you kind of have to. The Kelce, Christian McCaffrey of it all, it's like, this is your shot. Go take a big boost at it. And then if you swing and miss hard, you kind of land on the Marvin Harrison and move on.
Well, it is crazy. This team was able to get the 1.01. 6.84 is the team score. Helmet Sickers, the small sticker, loses between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Let's play this one. Block, release, catch.
National tight end day.
It's national tight end day.
Nice.
Beautiful day to be a tight end.
We're having the top rated tight end position. Number 3, Valley Ridge Force. Number 5 in total redraft value. Number 3 in starter redraft value. Very young team. It's as young as it gets on offense. 23.9 is the average starter age on offense. They don't end up being the youngest team overall because their defense does get up there a little bit. But on the offensive side of the ball, boy, oh boy, under 24 years old per starter. Not shocking to see a nice little dynasty gain from this roster. They move up to number 2 in the dynasty rankings. Malik Nabers is the big dynasty gainer here. They pick up Malik Nabers at 1.02 for Malik Nabers there. Number 2 running back group. That's pretty good. Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, and Bupkis, I mean, depending on how you feel about Bucky Irving. I know there are some Bucky Irving fans out there, but really it's Bijan and Jonathan Taylor, running backs 3 and 4, and then probably not getting a ton of starts elsewhere on this roster unless Breece Hall gets hurt.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Braylon Allen would be an opportunity as a handcuff kind of situational thing. But yeah, so I mean, 2 is enough in the scoring format that, yeah, with being able to just drop those 2 guys in, you feel great about it. Young all over the place and just very good. I'm trying to wrap my head around Drake London in this scoring and whether he kind of loses some benefit because of the PPR. Is he more of a volume guy? How does Kirk Cousins really unlock him? Does he become a yardage touchdown opportunist? Because Malik Nabers, I think, automatically is just, he's going to get force fed the ball. So yeah, it's going to be all things. Would you have benefited from PPR with Nabers? For sure. He's also going to put up yards and touchdowns because there's just nothing going on.
Yeah. If they score any touchdowns in New York,
he's going to get a share of them for sure. Right.
But you would think Drake London would be a decent red zone target for the Falcons. I mean, he's got some size and he's got some good strength, mm-hmm. like, you know, good hands, like catch the ball around the goal line, get into the end zone, stuff like that. But you never really know. It's not like Kyle Pitts wouldn't be a good red zone target himself.
So. Hypothetically, I've never seen it, but I hear he could be.
Could be. I mean, that's the whole Atlanta offense. We don't know. Yeah. And then Desmond Ridder loses out to Clayton Toon. So it's like, what can you even make of anything that's happened in Atlanta over the last couple years?
Not a thing. Yeah, I mean, definitely going to be interesting. This is a team who's obviously pretty heavily invested in Atlanta, and hopefully they become a fun offense to watch. But I mean, Kurt's not the youngest guy. It's a serious injury to come back from. I don't think his mobility was a key to how he was playing quarterback and what he was good at. So hopefully we can see him kind of, I'm rooting for him in that offense. I think the NFL deserves to see Atlanta become fun, and we're going to blame Arthur Smith when it happens.
I do that anyway. I don't care. Weak wide receivers, number 9 wide receiver group, but as you mentioned, some high upside players. Of course, Nabers, London, and Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed is another young, high upside player here. I think I would like to see maybe some more bodies at wide receiver. I feel like this team, I don't know. I know it's standard scoring, so maybe you're going to want more running backs in general, but I like Cordero Patterson, DJ Dallas. Do we really need those guys here?
No, I don't think so, and I think this is where, when we're kind of starting to get into the teams that I really expect to make the playoffs, the best ball format kind of comes into it. And that's where I want to start having more wide receivers and running backs, right? Because that's where you really get the best ball boon from. And it kind of really falls off here, where we saw just the team previously have, you know, 7 wide receivers who had some opportunities. This one's got 4. Both of them are now kind of expected to get to make the playoffs. And there's just a little bit less depth now. Yep. From a quarterback perspective, it's nice in best ball. Like, I think rocking Burrow, Lawrence, Levis going into the playoffs will be excellent. Tight end, you're going to be mostly just running off Laporta, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, maybe I think, if anything, I think they're housing too many IDP, honestly, especially for how we have it ranked. We've got them ranked 10. with the starting requirements, I definitely would want more offensive owns just to take those shots. You know, I think we've seen via the draft picks that it's pretty easy to go find both veteran and rookies in that 4, 5, 6, 7 rounds. So yeah, just kind of let a couple guys go. The IDP is fine. I think Trayvon Walker, you're really hoping that he can show up and show that he deserved that draft capital that he received. And it's kind of a do or die for it. I mean, Nolan Smith, I think, kind of falls into the same category as an Eagles fan. Like, we really need to see something out of him this year, or it becomes like a bit of an oh no. There's so much rotation in defensive lines now that if someone doesn't start kind of popping off early, they start to never get that opportunity to see the snaps. Linebacker Fred Warner is obviously amazing. Cornerback, Sertan.
They traded for Warner this year in the offseason.
Oh, really? What did Fred Warner cost in this league?
It looks like around 7. Because, again, tackles aren't...
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, so you're getting less play out of it. Maybe make tackles worth points, guys. It's a big part of playing defense, I swear it.
I think we're good here. I think this clearly one of the true contenders in this.
For
league.
Sure.
But the fall is kind of coming at some point. 7.06 is the team score. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the last team. This team, already good. The fall is not coming. The fall is well off because they got young. This is the number 2 dynasty team. 7.06 is the team score. The mushroom sticker gains between $25 and $50 of dynasty value. Let's play this one. Hey, rookie.
You were good.
For having the... they are tied for the most projected rookie starters, I guess, neighbors, right? Neighbors. Number 2, Silver Oak Eagles. Silver Oak Eagles. Number 3 in total value. Number 5 in starter value. Youngish team, 25.9 average starter age. Number 3 in dynasty ranking. They basically hold their dynasty value here. But the good news, some sparkling news, they are number 1 in wide receiver value. And it looks like a team that should be good in standard scoring at wide receiver with A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, D.K. Metcalf, T. Higgins, Chris Godwin. I mean, certainly A.J. Brown, Metcalf, and Higgins. Those are all guys who get a little bit of a boost in standard scoring.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Godwin, I think, unfortunately, takes a bit of a hit, but still enough that you're getting some nice kind of best ball depth for a team that we expect to make the playoffs. Cortland Sutton kind of falls in the same category.
And Garrett Wilson, who the hell knows?
He's such a good, young, talented player. I don't think you care, but he's got the most question marks, I think, kind of in that tier of like guys we expect to be valuable in dynasty for a 5 to 10 year window. He's got the most, like, I don't know what that short and long term looks like.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of in the same boat as like Drake London, Chris Olave, like guys who we sort of believe in talent wise. Just it would be nice to see them actually do it.
Totally. And the running back room, I think, is where I get scared. I don't know about the scoring format. I think is interesting. We kind of already talked about Raheem Mostert and how much you liked him. And I think you made an excellent assumption there, is that he's being a little undervalued. And I think A-Chain's being a little overvalued in the fact that, one, we watched A-Chain just be amazing a few times, right? But we never watched him actually carry the load of what an NFL number one running back looks like to us. And then adding Jalen Wright, I think, just is very much like a signal that that team is going to just rotate in players, use situational advantages, use motion, use multiple sets, and like give guys rest and offer opportunities. So can A-Chain carry this team? Because I can tell you in the bottom of my heart, I know Rashad White can't.
Yeah, I mean, both of those guys might be better PPR backs here. I am very partial to HN. I have him in a league and I bought a jersey, so I'm invested. I am invested in
HN. He's super fun. Like, he's a very fun player to own, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, obviously there's concern, and he's not a top 10 consensus guy. He's at running back 11. White is at running back 16. It's a number 7 running back overall, group overall. If this team does not win a title this year, I think running back would be probably the reason why. I mean, the one thing I would say is between White and HN, it's kind of a nice best ball setup where like
I mean,
you only have to start one
because you're right, because all those wide receivers are going to probably end up starting for you, so you're really only going to have to slot in one of those guys. And I mean, Javonte Williams isn't something to not discuss. I just don't know how much that Denver offense, I just don't know what it's going to end up looking like. I mean, Bo Nix is a starter, I think, is optimistic. I don't think Sean Payton would throw him out there just to do it. So I think they believe in him from at least that perspective. I mean, I think the Jaden Daniels pick is something that's kind of interesting on this team. Got him at 108, which I think is maybe a little bit early for his ADP, although we obviously have mentioned that Caleb Williams went very early. So this is a league that's putting some value into quarterbacks. I think we also saw Drake May go 203. So maybe on par for what the league does, but for this team's roster, it was sitting on Tua and Daniel Jones, had lost Mac Jones as a starter. How do you feel about that pick? Because we know Brooks was off the board, but Trey Benson was there. Obviously, Worthy and Brian Thomas were there.
Yeah, and this team was, you know, probably looking at those wide receivers and like, what am I going to do with a wide receiver?
which fair.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fine. He's in the ballpark of being a Konami Code quarterback that could maybe end up being a top five guy who can actually change the league for you. So
yeah, if he hits
500
rushing yards, he becomes very interesting, right?
Yeah, I certainly understand it. But sometimes I do think BPA, like, yeah, what, you may not start Xavier Worthy, but if Worthy's good, you can always trade him for, you know, a running back or whatever you need that might help you more. You know, George Kittle's getting up there in years, so at some point you might be thinking about another tight end. I would sort of lean BPA still, especially for a team like this that is otherwise pretty good. But I understand the motivation to do it. How about IDP here?
I'm super strong. This is the most complete IDP I've seen. We've got them ranked second overall, so I think the owner doesn't find that too shocking. Very good defensive line as a whole. Jeffrey Simmons, Josh Allen, Trey Hendrickson, Quiddy Pay, you're kind of hoping takes a step. Same as Odafeaway. I don't know why everyone still calls him Jason on all the fantasy scoring. It bothers me so much.
It bothers me too, because I have to like go in and manually change the name.
Yeah. I know. I don't know why. But it's very nice defensive line. Linebackers, Logan Wilson's great. Frankie Louvu even's kind of excited. Safeties, Antoine Winfield, Justin Simmons. Yeah, I mean, Justin Simmons obviously got an excellent landing spot, which I think is very happy. And then Winfield, I think we absolutely love from a safety perspective. So difference makers at IDP when you're lining up against some of the weaker teams for sure.
Six sacks for Winfield last year. We have to look at like the sacks and the the INTs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big play IDP scoring is definitely interesting. But I still stand by everything I said, where even without the tackles, I still think cornerbacks are not getting that many more pass deflections and picks than safeties are.
7.1 team score here. Separate sticker.
A great route runner has got to do one thing, and that's separate.
Oh, there you go. Top rated wide receiver position. Really good group there. Number one, Bear Lake Berserkers. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Every year, Rob yells at me about how I'm pronouncing Berserk. Yeah, it's like I'm scarred. I have PTSD now. like Bear Lake, or whatever. Rob actually made a note here. Last season, this team, his team, won the league. It was the first. Oh, yeah. He loves to point this out, too. It was the first time since we started doing the podcast that the team chosen as number one by you guys actually ended up winning the league. A bunch of teams that falter. They can't stand up to the pressure. Hate to see that. But not this time. Was able to bring, you know, whatever. Several times it's been one of the lower-ranked teams, and then they make a point of bringing up that they were lowly ranked and rose up. So good to see the Rate My League algorithm come true once.
Yes, so what I'm hearing is we're on a correct streak.
Yeah, we're a streak of one. Number one team, and we're putting them there again. Although I will say the starters here, only number two. See, that's sometimes also a thing that happens. Like we boil everything down into a team score. So we give all the teams a ranking. And people look at just the ranking, like the overall ranking, and say, well, I won the league last year, and you had me ranked sixth. And then I look at what we had, and we're like,
two in redraft.
Yeah, they were like top three in redraft. They're like ninth in dynasty, and they're missing all their future draft capital. Well, yeah, I mean, we liked your team as a team that could win that year. No one listens to me. Anyway, number one in total value, number two in starter redraft value here. 25.9 average starter age. Dynasty value more or less holds. They stay at number one for the dynasty ranking. Very young IDP. We'll get to that in a second. They also, not only did they win, they also ended up having the 1.04 selection, which in one quarterback always ends up being not Rome Odunze.
No.
And Rome Odunze goes here at 1.04. We saw Caleb Williams sneak into the top three there, rather. So they get Rome Odunze at 1.04. That you have to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that's a huge boon to the team. Maybe kind of needed it. I mean, Justin Jefferson, obviously, truly amazing. I don't think that the loss of J.J. McCarthy is tremendous. I do think Sam Darnold is enough, and that I will kind of consider Jefferson QB proof until proven otherwise. I know some people don't think the sample sizes are large enough, and that
I do converse with like Lions fans, and Jefferson's two big games both came against the Lions, and
which is fair. Yeah, and then the other ones,
their secondary was like guys off the street, basically. So.
Obviously, there's a bit of concern there. Puka Nacua still is dealing with a training camp injury that we're just kind of neglecting to talk about a fair bit. Hopefully, comes back healthy. It's kind of one of those weird things in training camp when they're not guys that are starting that week three preseason game. I feel like NFL teams don't really change the injury designations. They're like, he's still questionable. Ask me in 2 weeks.
We have a proud history of ostriching. When we have to ostrich. If I have to put my head in the ground, I will do it.
Yeah,
I got no problem doing that.
But yeah, and then Rashee Rice, obviously, we had pretty massive concerns about a suspension. It sounds like it's going to be an Alvin Kamara thing where they're going to wait for the legal proceedings to take place. So you're going to get him all this year. The suspension may come next year, although it may be a heavy one. And then Christian Watson, like, these are questions. So I think getting a Odunze is very nice. Like, it really makes me feel a lot better about this team from a future perspective. Seeing how they won last year, I mean, Kyron Williams will definitely be a league winner for teams last year. I mean, we when we were talking about this team, I doubt we were like, Kyron Williams is going to win you the league.
No, I don't think we were. It's interesting. Lamar did not have a tremendous fantasy season last year, but boy, oh boy, did he bring it in the fantasy championship week, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, one was good when it mattered.
Yeah,
sure.
This team probably won partially because of that, and they probably got to the championship game because of Amari Cooper. Who's also here. So this team just had the right combo of dudes.
Timing. That's fantasy playoffs, though, honestly. And best ball, even more so, is timing is everything. If you just get those big weeks, it's kind of over. I mean, obviously, quarterback, I feel like the J.J. McCarthy pick at 203-204 was a bit of a luxury pick. I mean, probably something that was unnecessary when you're sitting on Jackson Richardson and Kyler Murray, all guys under 30 who've got a lot of gas left in the tanks. But if you can do it, you can do it. And obviously, maybe someone is a little bit interested and invested in the Vikings with Justin Jefferson. So,
We talked about Jalen Wright, but he was a round three selection. That seems
nice.
Crazy value.
Yeah, I think that's really nice.
Standard scoring one quarterback, Jalen Wright at 3.02. That feels like a really nice pick. And Pitts at tight end here. How about the one weakness really is IDP. It's a very young IDP group in general. We got them 24 years old per starter, but we also have them dead last in IDP value.
Yeah, I feel like we got a guy who's just playing the waiver wire, if I had to guess. I feel like he knows what he's doing, is completely loaded up on the offensive side of the ball for opportunity. Drawn Bland, obviously, very much probably helped this team win some games last year with the way the IDP scoring works and him just picking off touchdown after touchdown. Going with like a rookie like Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker might be a little tough, Dallas Turner, but I think ultimately you're just going to see them pick up enough value off waivers and kind of play the game of finding some good just situational scoring opportunities and keep with it, and then just really feel the boon of the best ball in the playoffs by having so many more opportunities in offense.
Team score here, 7.66. Helmet stickers. Hey, rookie tied for most rookie starters. Spin it, top-rated quarterback position. Disgusting, absolute garbage, lowest-rated IDP. Let's play this one. Destroyer of Worlds.
Now I am become Death, the Destroyer of Worlds.
For having the number one team, the villain of the league. We did it. We counted down 12-2-1. Thank you so much to Get a Life, and thank you so much to Rob for getting this. all set up. You can follow me still on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Luke, where can we reach you?
You can follow me on Twitter everywhere except Brazil at Dynasty Diehard.
Have a good season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to see you again next year. Bye.